It is wonderful to be here with you today in this wonderful facility that just shines out a beacon of light and hope into the world. It always feels like coming home whenever I step into any spiritualist church. So it truly is a privilege to be with you all today. But it's been the sort of week, it feels like we've lived more than the 7 days, perhaps, hasn't it? From the horrific multiple events in Orlando, to Stanford University, to other events around the world, it's been hard to absorb all the pain and suffering that has gone out like a stone in a still pool, touching so many. And still, with all that, the week has led us here today, to this service, to a tradition, to Father's Day, with its gratitude and celebration. Perhaps we can accept that as a reminder of the law of balance. Help us find hope when it is hard to find any sense in an almost overwhelming amount of events by focusing on love. So many calls for love and forgiveness went out this week, didn't they? In so many different directions. And of course, it's always important to acknowledge that by forgiveness, we are not condoning. We are opening up channels for healing. One of my favorite sayings, it's so common that I don't think anyone remembers who originally said it anymore, that it's not about avoiding storms, it's about learning to dance in the rain. So today, I'm going to talk about that dance, life. And remembering that dancing is never a straight line, even if you're doing line dancing, you move around a lot, but it's about how all the actions wind together into a whole. So first, happy Father's Day, all the fathers here and in spirit. Again, like a stone in a still pool, the birth and life of every individual affects so many others. And our fathers, whether we knew them or not, help shape who we are. Helped us as we did every interaction leading up to this moment. No matter who touches us, no matter which experience, everything affects us into this moment that is now. Now, I'd like to share a little bit about how I am able to be in this now, my spiritualist journey with my father, again, in recognition of Father's Day. A human-created holiday, some say by the floral industry, but I think it's still a wonderful event. So my father ended up being a very important part of my spiritualist journey. I don't remember him as a particularly spiritual or religious man. I don't remember him going to church. I was raised Catholic. But I do remember this pivotal moment when I was in graduate school, rushing around, thinking about a test. And I'd been raised in an atmosphere of openness, so I felt that there was something bigger around me. But I remember as I was rushing for my test, all of a sudden I tasted Dr. Pepper in my mouth. And I heard a song that my father always sang, the one song he could play on his guitar. He always wanted to be a musician. Never as quite successfully as he wanted to be. And it was, I heard the refrain, hang down your head, Tom Dooley. And this very old song. And I just stopped and I felt all of these shivers as I do now. And I knew that although I couldn't explain it, my father was supporting me in my schoolwork and the test that day. And at that point, he'd been gone over 10 years. He passed away when I was 13. And so I have spent most of my life without him here in the physical world. But then through the years, as I found spiritualism, as I started to develop, I connected more and more. Of course, that's what happens. But I realized a couple of years ago that it wasn't just about my journey. But as I understood spiritualism more and more and how it is one world, that he was growing and changing too. That how he was able to connect with me was changing as I was learning how to connect in a deeper way. how he presented himself to me started to change. And he started showing up at every class I went to, just full of excitement. And I recognized that he was helping others too through the classes. And it really, in a way that I had never anticipated when I first started in spiritualism, realized what the continuity of life truly meant. It was just not the recognition that we all, no matter seen or unseen, continue to grow and develop. And I've been aware recently that he has come into another stage. And I'm so excited for him. And I'm looking forward to how we may continue to know each other in different ways. And I'm sure all of you have stories about fathers or father-like figures in your life, friends, other family members. Again, that touch that sends us in directions that we may not have realized that it could. Aren't those wonderful moments of surprise and joy and potential when we realize the help that we have? I was driving one day recently and I saw a billboard that just had a big question, heaven or hell? And I thought, all right, not my path, but I thought, all right, it'll help me to think about what I reflect on what I do believe. It's an invitation, right? All of those things that we see that jar us a little are invitations. Huge letters, that's all it said. I realized, you know, that's really those, that black and white, that either or is not the human journey. And it's certainly not the spiritualist journey. As spiritualists, we have a deep commitment to the power of free will, the personal responsibility, the recognition that we make our own journey, that we can choose to go in one direction or another, to help in one direction or another, to not help in one direction or another, and that everything in that changes us. It's not simply this or that. Many things happening at once, but that power of the free will and the personal responsibility is what I believe keeps spiritualism growing and changing. And today, as we do every week in services, we recited the nine principles that reflect the philosophy, the science, and the religion of spiritualism. Awesome principles, I'm sure you'll agree. But it's really, I think, just the gateway to what a spiritualist journey is about. And I think particularly as we wind our way into 6, 7, and 8, reflecting how we live out our religion in everyday life. What do we do that really brings spiritualism to life in our lives and to affect those around us? It's that struggle of the feeling of separation, isn't it? We come into this physical world, and most of us have to rediscover the connection with the divine, the recognition that we are all one, and that we are but a divine spark of the infinite intelligence in the universe, the awareness that we're all connected. And I would offer you the thought that forgiveness is an enormous element in this journey. Point of struggle, whether we're talking about those who cause pain in the world on a large scale basis, and perhaps sometimes an issue with those whom we love, our fathers, our friends, other members of our family. Those moments perhaps when it didn't go quite the way we thought it would, when we feel jarred, betrayed perhaps, hurt beyond words. There's a center that I go to in the Catskills in New York, and they do a lot of work to help just people open up to possibility. And there's a facilitator there that I particularly admire. And whenever she starts her workshops, she said, "Don't worry about judgment. Leave it at the door. And I will tell you now, no matter what happens, you're already forgiven." And what always strikes me whenever she says that is the ripple that goes through the room. But it's clearly so hard for people to accept that forgiveness is there. Sometimes there's giggles. Sometimes there's uncomfortable shifting, looking down. and the power that it is to hear someone say it's already there. And not surprisingly, in a retreat setting, much of the individual work ends up being about offering forgiveness to get through those barriers and looking at those 9 principles as our starting point. One about the golden rule, the one that always sounds easier than maybe it really is, treating others as we wish to be treated. And those of us who have done other spiritual readings will know that there's also talk about the platinum and the diamond rule beyond the golden. Again, golden as the starting point, platinum moving on to not only treating people as we want to be treated, but treating them how they want to be treated themselves. And then diamond, imagining we are them, supporting someone else's journey beyond our own, because it helps us too, because we are one connected world. So in that thought, many of you have perhaps read some of the works of John Steinbeck. He's not as popular as he used to be, but I'm hoping high school students still read a little bit of him. He's not as well known for his short stories, but there's one in particular that I just find absolutely profound. It's called The Affair at Rue de la M with a blank, because it's already that air of mystery. He's not going to disclose where this event happened. And the essence of it, the initiating event in the story is, he has a little boy, and the boy loves to chew gum. And the house rule is no gum chewing at the dinner table. So one day, they're at the dinner table, and he looks up, and he sees his little boy chewing gum, and he gets furious and says, "John, what is the rule?" And the little boy looks up at him with tears and says, "Papa, I'm so sorry, but the gum is chewing me." And so the whole story is that metaphorical journey, if you will, of trying to get rid of the gum because the gum keeps coming back and jumping in the boy's mouth no matter what they do to it, and chewing the little boy in spite of the boy's wishes. And I just think that offers us a marvelous look at what we allow to take over us, to forget that we have free will, to put something to the side. Let emotion, pain, need for justice sometimes consume us. And what cost to us? Right. Many of us have probably experienced, how could we not, we're human, great periods of pain or suffering, or a betrayal from someone else. Is there someone in your life, perhaps, that you went through a period every time you saw him or her tensed? Like, there they are, they're there. What if instead we just simply acknowledged it and said, "Thank you for the gift. What you offered was not my path. I am going in a different path." Think what happens in your body when you breathe into that. When instead of tensing up, we take that upward breath that in mediumship classes we know connects us to spirit. What if we choose to connect with spirit in that larger opportunity, regardless of what has been done to us? I've had an opportunity again to watch another facilitator at in a different location. In some of the work that I do, I have an opportunity to observe other awesome leaders. And this one individual was having difficulty getting through a great pain that she believed somebody was doing to her every day. It was a relationship issue. And the facilitator, every time she would throw out an accusation, gave her a piece of wood to hold. Sometimes it was a big piece, sometimes it was a little piece. And she was so in these accusations that before she knew it, she was absolutely weighed down. She was carrying logs. The facilitator had stuffed little pieces of wood in her pocket. And she was just trying to walk. And it was hard and she was weighed down and pieces of wood sticking out everywhere. She was so determined to hang on to everyone. And we were all looking in amazement as it was so clear here, these emotions made physical in a way so we could see it, what it was doing to this individual to hang on to her need to be right. And gradually, as it reached another point and she put it down and she could breathe, there was that moment to move into new space. I've never looked at wood the same way again. As I pick up a log, I think, what am I carrying? What am I carrying? Hurt, anger, disappointment. It has the power to develop a life of its own. It becomes a habit that we don't even realize that we're carrying. A gentleman named Jeff Trinefels said in a recent article that I came across, if we want people to understand and forgive our mistakes, if we want to be forgiven, we have to have the grace to give it to someone else. Ouch, right? It's beautiful. It's not so easy to live into, but it does offer an opportunity to reconsider things that may have become habits. And again, forgiveness, not necessarily condoning an action. Seasonal change again, Monday or Tuesday, I think we're going into the summer solstice. And I like to think of the seasonal changes as offering in a physical way to look at growing. You know, winter goes into spring, spring goes into summer. Coldness of hurt, coldness of alone, into growth and flowering development. It's all about the progression of the soul. What we want to be about in every moment. I want to leave you with one other thought about love. When I was a graduate student at Syracuse University, among the plane that exploded over Lockerbie, Scotland, were 35 students from Syracuse University. And in the community that is a university, you can imagine the impact that had. And I was working in the residence hall department at that time, so I was particularly close to students. But what I remember more than anything is what happened afterward, when one of the mothers who was a sculptor chose as a way of dealing with her own pain and her own need to release anger and the what if and why not and why, to talk to every other parent, to bring them back to the moment that they first found out that their loved one was not coming back. And sculpt that moment of grief in oversized life forms, which then in the following year were installed on the Syracuse University hills. More than anything, what I remember about that is what she put in the heart. She embedded something from each of the children and focused on love and remembering the impact all those young people had and continue to have in the world. As scholarships every year, 35 scholarships help people who normally would not have been able to go to school. So when the unimaginable happens, we have the opportunity to change our habits, change that reflex to tense up, to hate, to throw accusations, to focus on love, to figure it out in a different way, to figure out how we can be our highest and best self. Breathe into the love and let our body feel that difference. And when we do, when we breathe into it, we allow healing come into our lives. We're not pushing it out, breathing it in. And as spiritualists, we know that when we do that and we're aware of the connections, together we are stronger. We are more aware that we are one. As divine sparks, all as one in this moment, on our individual journeys, yes, but together we are improving the lives of all. Thank you.